The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Welcome back to the 9 till noon show this Tuesday morning. It's Michaela Clark in today for Greg Hughes. Looking now to some of your comments, we as a family have shown an interest in the council buying our family home. We are in a prime area and the house is a bungalow. We first contacted the council in October and have not heard anything since. That relates to our discussion we were having just before 10 with Councillor Jerry McMonagall in terms of the number of social homes that have been built by Donegal County Council between 2022 and 2024. Another topic we were discussing was online sick certs. A listener says, have you tried to get a doctor's appointment? Sick people cannot get a doctor's appointment for weeks with practices they have been registered with for years. Yeah, that is absolutely the case. The council should not be allowed to buy affordable houses. I can't buy a house for my family on an average wage because the council can buy them in cash before I get a mortgage approved. This isn't fair. All my money needs to go on rent instead. Another listener says, maybe if the councillor would catch himself on and organise that the quarries be tested, then there'd be no problem with the blocks after they are built. I think that's a government and possibly an EU regulation issue, that there are no regulations in place governing the blocks at the moment. Ask Jerry McMonagall, whatever happened to the 17 houses approved for Carrigart some years ago? Houses are being built but are extremely slow at being given out. My friend was appointed a council house almost a month ago and she is still waiting on the keys. Jerry McMonagall is using the economic crash of 2008 as an excuse for their utter inactivity regarding social housing. Social housing has been omitted from the county development plan for over a decade. Councillor McMonagall did allude to there during the interview that the council got off to a bad start, that there is funding issues, that more resources are needed from the government in terms of the delivery of social homes. Another listener says, last year I went through a really bad time with my mental health. Perimenopause hit me and I didn't understand what was happening. Thankfully, I had a good support behind me and I'm doing amazing now, back to myself again. I have two children and even in the days I didn't want to get out of bed, I had to. They needed me. The point I'm making here is, looking at me, I looked fine but I was sick. But it was a sickness only I and my family could see. We talk a lot about hidden illnesses, that people do appear to be absolutely fine, but there are so many hidden illnesses that people do suffer with each day. Morning, in their infinite wisdom, the so-called government of the people have decided to increase the student fees back up to €3,000. Again, hitting the middle when we have billions in the bank and the rich are getting richer. Hi there, at the risk of sounding like an old fuddy-duddy, am I the only person who feels that Irish singer C-Math's song Take a Sexy Picture should not be aired on the national broadcaster, as it contains the line, take a sexy picture of me and make me look 14. Surely the sexualisation of children and normalisation of paedophilia is unacceptable. So the lyrics go, can't you see me wither, take a sexy picture of me and make me look 14, oh, or like 10, or like 5, or like 2, like a baby. Whoever it is that you're going to love, so you'll be nice to me. What's your opinion on this? Let us know by calling 91 25000 or texting or WhatsApping 086 60 25000. That song has kind of gone viral because of there's a line in a verse. I can't remember the words now off the top of my head, but there's a dance going around on TikTok in relation to that verse. So maybe people have kind of looked over the rest of the song, but when you see it on paper like that, it does raise a few questions. What do you think of it? Let me know. Another listener says, sick and tired of the English government trying to silence the Irish people. They are always trying to install control on us by speaking out for freedom of our own country and others. You'll never win. We will not be broken. Kneecap won't be broken until free Gaza and Palestine. Another comment on Kneecap, they have a big following, as does Bob Villain. I'm not sure about chanting death on stage helps the Gaza situation. What are the world leaders doing? Nothing. That's what I was saying earlier, that they are raising awareness and they're keeping Gaza in the spotlight, but it's possibly about how they're going about it. The chanting and, I don't know. I was going for a blood test. The bloods came back all clear. Cholesterol was elevated. The phone went off during the call as the signal was bad. I rang the GP to ask for the result again. The second time, the GP flagged cholesterol and vitamin D levels. I then asked about a prostate check. The GP said it wasn't done. If I hadn't asked about the results, I wouldn't have known that the prostate wasn't checked. People remember to double check that your bloods are actually being tested for, or what your bloods are actually being tested for. At my age, getting the prostate checked is very important. Be sure to ask questions at the GP if you are unsure of anything. And finally for now, morning Highland. I was just listening to the news there. New car registration again. I did propose an idea to scrap VRT and bring in private registrations like USA and UK. Instant money cow for government, a no-brainer. What do you think?
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91 26025.
It is the Garda information slot and I'm joined in studio by Sergeant Charlene Anderson from the Buncrana Garda Station. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Michaela. How are you?
Good, thank you very much. So we're going to start with a burglary in Killybegs.
That's right. So Gardaí are seeking the assistance of the public this morning in connection with a burglary that occurred at the town pier Killybegs between Friday the 27th of June at 12 midday and Monday the 30th of June at 8 a.m. Now, the wheelhouse of a boat was entered and a pair of binoculars and a GE Tech laptop was stolen from within. So we appeal to anyone who may have observed any suspicious activity in the area to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530.
And moving now to Culduff.
That's right. So we're appealing for witnesses to a two-vehicle collision that occurred on the R238 at Temple Moyle, Culduff, between 10:15 p.m. and 10:45 p.m. on Tuesday the 24th of June. Now, one car was travelling from Mallon towards Culduff and the other car was travelling in the opposite direction when the collision occurred. Both drivers sustained injuries, none of which are believed to be life-threatening. There were no passengers in either vehicle at the time. But we'd appeal to anyone who may have observed the collision or who may have travelled along the route, may have dash cam footage, to make that available to Gardaí in Buncrana on 93 20 540.
And unfortunately, another collision, this time in the Drumkeen area.
That's correct, Michaela. This occurred last night and Gardaí in Letterkenny are investigating this collision. It occurred on the N13 at Callan Drumkeen on Monday the 30th of June, shortly before 10:30 p.m. Now, a car had been travelling from convoy, from the convoy direction, and it approached the junction to enter the N13 when the collision occurred. Now, the second car involved had been travelling along the N13 from Letterkenny direction towards Drumkeen. One of the drivers involved in the collision left the scene on foot before emergency services had arrived. No serious injuries were reported to Gardaí at the scene. But we're appealing to anyone who may have witnessed the collision to contact Gardaí, or indeed they can contact the Garda confidential line. If anyone has any dash cam footage, we'd ask them to make it available to us as well from the hours of 10:20 p.m. to 10:45, if possible.
And then we're moving now to criminal damage incidents starting in the Remelton area.
Yes, and that's right, Gardaí are appealing for information in relation to an incident of criminal damage, and this occurred at Gamble Square in Remelton between 10:30 p.m. on Sunday the 29th of June and 9 a.m. on Monday the 30th of June. Now, a food van that was parked at the location was vandalised between those times, and once again, if anybody witnessed the incident or indeed have any information pertaining to the incident, we'd ask them to contact Gardaí in Milford on 91 53060.
And another criminal damage incident in the Donegal town area.
That's correct. So Gardaí are investigating an incident of criminal damage, and this occurred at a business premises at the Diamond in Donegal town between 9 p.m. on Saturday the 28th of June and 7 a.m. on Sunday the 29th of June. Now, a shop window was smashed between those times and CCTV from the surrounding areas is being viewed by investigating Gardaí. So just appeal once again, if anybody witnessed the incident or if anyone has any information in relation to it, to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530.
And apologies, that was my fault. We'll go to Cloughan now this time.
And again, Gardaí are appealing for the assistance of the public in relation to a criminal damage incident, and this occurred at Kilty Fergal, Cloughan, in the early hours of Wednesday the 25th of June at approximately 12:45 a.m. Two vehicles were parked at an address in the area and they were damaged. Their tyres were slashed. The tyres were slashed on both vehicles. So we just appeal to anyone who may have witnessed the incident. Once again, anyone who may have dash cam footage between the hours of 12:30 a.m. and 1 a.m. just to make that footage available to us, or indeed if anyone has any information in relation to the incident, to contact Gardaí again in Ballyshannon, or they can contact the Gardaí confidential line on 1800 666 111.
And investigations are ongoing into a theft from the Friary in Rossnoyla.
That's right. So Gardaí again and Ballyshannon are investigating the recent theft from the Franciscan Friary in Rossnoyla. Now, this incident occurred on Wednesday the 25th of June at approximately 12:55 p.m. Two males entered the Friary, one aged in his 20s. He was wearing a black jacket, blue jeans and a black cap, and the other was in his teens. He was wearing blue jeans, a black jacket and a pink and orange t-shirt and a black cap. They proceeded to force open a petition box and a sum of cash was stolen from within. So we'd appeal to anyone who may have observed these two males. We believe they were travelling in a black Passat with a partial reg of 10 LK. If anyone observed this vehicle, perhaps in the area of the Friary, if somebody was visiting the Friary, may have dash cam footage in their own vehicle, or indeed travelled along the route between 12:30 p.m. and 1:30 p.m. Once again, we'd ask them to make that footage available to Gardaí in Ballyshannon. And just further to this, Michaela, should anyone wish to obtain any advice pertaining to security measures, and they'd like to contact Sergeant Fergus McGrory, the Divisional Crime Prevention Officer. He's based in Letterkenny and he can be contacted on 9167 100, and he'd be happy to assist them in any way that he can.
It's very disappointing seeing a place of worship being targeted once again. We know that there was a string of incidents in recent times, so it's disappointing there, and it's important that they do avail of the resources that yous have in place in relation to the safety measures.
Absolutely, and Sergeant McGrory is available. He can be contacted. He'll call out to the premises. He'll speak to them about security measures. And again, if anybody wants to avail of that, he can be contacted in Letterkenny, as I said, on 9167 100.
And moving now to the Galdena area of Manor Cunningham.
That's right. So Gardaí are investigating a recent report of the theft of cattle from Galdena area of Manor Cunningham between 6 p.m. on Monday the 16th of June and 9 a.m. on Tuesday the 17th of June. Now, the following animals are believed to have been stolen. There was a red and white shorthorn bullock, a black shorthorn heifer and a black Aberdeen Angus heifer and a black Hereford Cross heifer. So we appeal to anyone who may have observed, once again, any suspicious activity or any vehicles in the area between those dates and times, to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 9167 100. Or indeed, if anyone comes across any similar cattle for sale, we'd ask them to make contact with Gardaí as well.
And a reminder then about the Donegal Gardaí Youth Awards.
That's right. So the closing date to submit a nomination for the Donegal Gardaí Youth Awards is drawn to a close. The annual event celebrates outstanding young people between the ages of 13 and 21 from throughout the county. The nomination process is open, and on Gardaí Síochána in Donegal are now inviting the public to nominate a young person that they know who is committed to making a difference in their community. So nominations must be received by 12 noon tomorrow. That's Wednesday the 2nd of July, if they're to be considered. You can request a nomination form from any Gardaí station. You can download it from Gardaí.ie, and full details are available on the Gardaí Síochána Donegal Facebook page.
And it's a lovely initiative, and if you were thinking about it, now's the time to do it before it closes tomorrow.
That's it.
Sergeant Charlene Anderson, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26025.
That was Sergeant Charlene Anderson there, and we'll have more of the information from the Garda information slot available later on our website, highlandradio.com. Now back to some of your comments. I saw Dearan Garrahy's comments that there should be a confidentiality clause for women in maternity hospitals after a follower started DMing her that they'd expose her pregnancy. This got me thinking, should there be a confidentiality clause for any part of the hospital? People should be entitled to their privacy while accessing healthcare. I do understand that it is a confidentiality that there are confidentiality clauses, but obviously, as is the case in many situations, people decide that they're going to break that. And yeah, I think that's horrible, DMing someone, threatening to expose their pregnancy. Another listener says, the parking situation in Letterkenny Hospital is horrific. I am pregnant and a high-risk pregnancy, so I have to attend appointments weekly in the hospital and I dread this. You can barely get parked. Every appointment, I'm at least an hour and 15 minutes early, so I can drive round and round every car park praying I get a space. Last week, I had to rush in for an appointment that was last minute due to a bleed. There was no spaces, so I parked next to a bay, but half on the grass verge. I was not in anyone's way and I paid the extortionate €4 fee and ran in the hospital crying and praying my baby was still with us. Luckily, baby is okay, but when I got back to the car, I had a Euro Car Parks €70 ticket on my windscreen claiming I had parked on the grass. I was half on, half off. I called and explained my situation to the company and told I have to pay regardless. A neighbour also recently had to do similar, but for their ill child, but in the car park, and again the same, was told they have to pay with no discretion or empathy. I'm actually scared of when the time comes to give birth, as how will I even get parked? The hospital does not have any allocated parking for pregnant women or children's bays, or the lack in disability parking is terrible for this day and age. Parking in general is impossible at the hospital. The fees are diabolical from this third party company. Welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Now, you may remember the case of Valerie French Kilroy. In 2019, she was murdered by her husband at their home near Westport while her three young sons lay in bed. Her husband, James Kilroy, was last year convicted for the murder of Valerie. I am joined now by Valerie's brother, David French. Good morning to you, David.
Good morning.
So, David, you have written a book, it's just been published in recent weeks, about your sister Valerie's death and the aftermath. It's titled For Valerie. Can you take us back to that day where, unfortunately, Valerie was murdered?
So, from Valerie's perspective, she had a very, very busy day. James Kilroy was taking a day off sick. He failed to collect one of the children from school. He didn't want to take the other two to an open day at a play school. She was rushing out of work to do all of that. She came home at the end of the day. There's no food in the house. She makes pizza. She goes out to some shopping for groceries. She gets a call from a friend. She shows up, has a cup of tea, comes home at 11, and then James Kilroy attacked and killed her. That was Valerie's perspective on her last day.
And what was it like getting that phone call for yourself?
It was absolutely shocking. I mean, the thing to remember is you kind of get the information in dribs and drabs. We heard Valerie's gone. But you're wondering, like, how are they gone? You know, was it a car crash? That's the first port of call. Then you ask, well, where's James? And they don't say. And then they say they have a man in custody. So you're kind of putting the things together over the first day, then over the first week. And literally there were things we didn't know until 5 years later at the last trial, and there's still an awful lot we don't know. Mm. So you get the information fed to you over a long period of time.
And in terms of Valerie and James's relationship, were there any warning signs that, you know, there was domestic abuse there, was domestic violence before this?
Yes, there was, but we saw it in retrospect. But I'd like to make the distinction between domestic and abuse and domestic violence. There's no indication of violence until he stabbed and strangled and, you know, beat her. Mm-hmm. There was violence then, but there's no evidence now of violence before that. And that was a very important point in the trial and also in a lot of recent research where, you know, women who are at risk of homicide, they're not necessarily getting kind of progressively beaten up in advance, so they don't necessarily know what's happening. Mm-hmm. But all the other signs were there. You know, James Kilroy was very controlling, wanted to know where she was very useless at doing anything to kind of help the family along. This was a family with three young children, and he didn't seem to, like, pull his weight, as it were. That sort of attitude of putting down her friends and isolating her, all of that stuff was there, and just kind of afterwards we saw it.
Mm. And that unimaginable loss of a sibling, but when you consider that it's someone that, you know, Valerie trusted with her life, trusted with her children's lives, that is very hard to comprehend.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, if someone just kind of got murdered walking down the street by a random stranger, you wouldn't be dealing with the what ifs and should we have seen it, and we knew this guy, obviously he'd been in our houses and we'd welcomed him in as Valerie's partner and then husband. So you're dealing with that whole level of betrayal, which isn't there if it's, you know, something like a random street attack or whatever. And like, it's important to remember, the vast majority of women who are killed, they know the person who kills them.
Yeah. And the title of your book, For Valerie, did you feel compelled to tell her story?
Yes. Like, there's a lot of statistics, you know, 270-something women since Women's Aid started counting in 1996, you know, killed because of in this kind of situation. And it just, you know, didn't want her to become one more number. There's a whole story there. And all the other victims' families that I've met, you know, they've all got very, very similar stories. But I think it's easier for people to understand the dynamics and see the impact when you say, look, this is what happened to us. This is the nonsense we went through. And you look at, you know, what, say, Chris Cawley or Olivia Dunlea murdered, her mother, Anne Dunlea, is still very active on this area. You see the trajectory they go through and the way the system treats them. And the Valerie story is fairly typical along those lines.
And obviously then you had to deal with the other issue that you have been speaking out about as well. It's in terms of Valerie's children, they're still under the legal guardianship of James Kilroy. And this is no doubt very difficult for yourselves as a family.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's and also it's very difficult for the children. You know, there's someone who has killed their mother and has access to all the data about them. He's involved in major decisions. He can control if they go abroad and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. This is ongoing abuse. And having a murder verdict against you, as he does, has zero effect on guardianship. And this is absolute madness. Mm-hmm. There's 7 children put in this situation every year. Like a lot of women who are killed by partners or ex-partners, those women have children. And again, like, killing a mother is child abuse. It's kind of black and white. And there should be some sanction. I mean, the sanction of spending your time in Castlereagh is one thing, but it has no effect on your childcare rights or your property rights, and there should be.
So what has that process been like for yourselves from whenever James Kilroy was arrested? Obviously now he's been convicted of Valerie's murder. What has that process been in terms of trying to get guardianship of the children?
And basically, the children, in my personal view, were wrongfully taken into care. We cannot get guardianship. If you want to try and get guardianship of a child, you should have been minding them for 6 months in advance. And obviously, we were not doing that because Valerie was alive. So this isn't really about us trying to get guardianship. It's about taking guardianship away from James Kilroy and making the children safer as a result.
And you have been campaigning then for Valerie's Law, which would overturn the system in its current form.
Yes, and it shouldn't be a big deal. It's an amendment to a piece of legislation saying, look, if someone has done this and there's a manslaughter or murder verdict against them, their guardianship should be suspended or removed. I'm actually on Kildare Street at the minute. I'm going to be going and seeing the Justice Committee this afternoon and addressing them. Mm-hmm. On the government's bill, just my input into the government's bill, draft bill on this. And the Social Democrats also have a bill on this area, which was introduced by Gary Gannon as a private member's bill. So there's a lot of kind of regular campaigning on this. These things take time, goes through stages. But at the moment, there's a lot of support and people understand, look, this is something that absolutely makes no sense. Because in a normal situation, a lone parent like James Kilroy would be helped and supported by the state to reunify with his children and so on. I mean, if he was inside in prison for robbing a car, then obviously you know, his relationship with the children should be helped and supported by the state. Unfortunately, the state just charges on and gives that service to him.
Yeah, very different circumstances, yeah.
Yes. And so people like him should be carved out from the, from that.
And what is the, what's the feedback been like that you have been getting from government representatives on this?
It's been absolutely excellent. I've been very, very pleased with it, very, very cross-party, very... there's a lot of support from a lot of areas. I think it's not really the kind of political back and forth. It's the inertia. You know, people say, oh, it's not that many cases, or you're kind of going up against a default system that kind of reveres a family as a unit. And you sort of go, look, one parent's after killing the other, that family has been dissolved. It has been categorically finished. Yeah. And the system doesn't really recognize that. So I think the fight isn't against one party versus another or one ideology versus another. It's literally against inertia and the time it takes to make what should be a straightforward amendment on legislation. But that said, Minister Jim O'Callaghan has been very, very supportive on this. I met him last week at the Women's Aid conference at the launch of their impact report for 2024. And many, many opposition party members also have been very, very supportive. So that's very welcomed.
And unfortunately, the stark reality is that, you know, more families need Valerie's Law in place, because unfortunately there's so much violence against women. We only have to look at recent days when, Sarah Montgomery, a pregnant mother of two, was murdered in Northern Ireland. There just seems to be no end to this violence against women, despite so much awareness. So it is so important that regulations to support families are in place.
Absolutely. Like the names, you know, you hear these names, they come up in the news and then they go away, and you sort of slightly forget about them. But the year that Valerie was killed, the first woman that was killed by a partner, ex-partner in that year, was in your coverage area, Jasmine McMonagall. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think, January 2019. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the ex-partner was convicted of killing her. And there's many other cases that if you say the name, people go, oh, yeah, Clodagh Ho, or, you know, Jacqueline Connolly's sister, Clodagh. There's a lot of names. And then if you write them all down, you kind of go, well, this is actually a lot of people. Mm. If, you know, if someone was coming in and killing these people and it was recognized as an independent thing, you'd be sending out the army to stop them. And we don't seem to have a joined up response at a, you know, as a state level. And the normal default family support mechanisms kick in and support people like James Kilroy, regardless of what they've done.
Yeah. And another unfortunate thing that you're going through is in relation to Valerie's estate, and James Kilroy is refusing to cooperate on this.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, I had to go... he's disqualified as being her executor. He would be the normal legal person's representative because he was married to her. He's disqualified because of the verdict, but he still had to consent to handing over the legal personal representative or executorship to the next person in line. That happens to be me, because Valerie's parents, our parents, are dead. Mm-hmm. And the children obviously can't be the executors. So because he wouldn't consent, I had to go to the High Court. And that cost, I had two goes at the High Court. That cost €12,500. That comes out of Valerie's estate, which means it comes out of the pockets of the little boys, comes out mm-hmm. of their college fund. And that's because James Kilroy wouldn't simply consent to something that he wasn't going to keep anyway. He was trying to impose conditions and do this and do that. And it was like, he doesn't seem to accept the murder verdict. I mean, he is appealing it, as is his right. But look, we got to sort out Valerie's estate regardless. And the amount of friction and vector for abuse and messing that someone can do even after a murder verdict is incredible.
It's nearly that control element you talked about between James and Valerie previously. It's as if that's kind of carrying on now.
Exactly. I mean, the person doesn't change. You know them a bit better because you can see what they've done and they've been convicted for it. And a stunning amount of information about James Kilroy came out during the trial. You know, his drug use, the fact that he covered up drug use 20 years ago where he was committed for a few days. The pornography, the alcohol abuse, there's a lot of minimization comes from his side. But, you know, all this stuff is out in public, and he chose to put it out in public by having three murder trials. Mm. So, you know, you kind of see, look, this is the kind of person he is. And, you know, he hasn't changed. He's the same abusive, controlling person as he was back then.
And how difficult is that? You've lost your sister, and then you kind of see all this coming out about James Gilroy. Is it nearly as if this was a separate life that your sister, you know, was subjected to?
Yeah, she, you know, she was kind of holding the family together, and we didn't see this. We could see that she was hyper busy, mm-hmm. and we could see that he wasn't really pulling his weight. We had no clue at all of the full extent of what was going on. And that's frightening, that things can be so different inside the family home and outside. I'm sure there's thousands of homes where it's mm. like that. But it's, clearly shouldn't be like that.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I like the way in the book you've dedicated it to the silenced woman, and there's also a photo of Valerie's tombstone, and it says murdered by her husband, and it's just a reminder that, you know, the life that she had was brutally taken away from her, and, you know, I suppose you just don't want people to forget that.
Yeah, we put a lot of thought into that wording and thought, look, you know, we'll write it as it is. We got the murder verdict. We didn't put up the gravestone until after the verdict. Mm-hmm. So it's clear it's murdered. It's not mm-hmm. killed. And that's not unusual. There's other people that have written the same stuff. Sometimes it's written in Irish. I could give examples, but there's other people have, you know, said whose life was taken. And it's, you know, you've got to call it what it is. There's no point saying, you know, resting in peace or whatever. It's like, look, this is the truth. It's unfortunate. It doesn't, you know, we know it. And just, yeah, put it on our gravestone and recognise the fact.
Yeah. We'll be watching closely to see the progress of Valerie's law, and it's a nice way to mark her as well if this is implemented. Thank you so much, David, for joining me this morning, and wishing you well there.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
So that is David French, the brother of Valerie French Kilroy, who was murdered by her husband in 2019, and his book for Valerie is now on sale. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Donegal. Thinking of cutting your energy bills or upgrading your home? DLDC and Mount Lucas are bringing the Retrofit Roadshow to you. Join us in Dunloe July 14th to 18th and Letterkenny July 21st to 25th. Free sessions for homeowners. Learn how to boost your BER, upgrade your insulation and access SEAI grants. One day certified training for tradespeople. Future proof your skills in NZ retrofitting. Places are limited. Book now at dldc.org or call 074-912-7056. DLDC, bringing energy expertise to your doorstep.
Last month, I joined my walking group's WhatsApp chat and accidentally sent them a picture of Herbert, my hamster, twice. But now, thanks to high digital drop-in Fridays at my local Vodafone store, I'm video calling, sharing recipes, and even ordering prescriptions online. And now when I send pictures of Herbert, it's always on purpose. Visit highdigital.ie or drop into your nearest participating Vodafone store Fridays between 10 and 1 for free practical advice on using your phone. Vodafone. Together we can.
Bring your family on a day out to Dublin on Saturday, 5th of July for the Rally for Life. Sponsored buses by Donegal Pro Life. To book your seats, ring Margaret on 089-246-9599. That's 089-246-9599.
Highland Radio weather updates with McElhenney's. Find all your summer essentials from fashion and accessories to beauty and homeware at McElhenney's. Explore more in-store or shop online at McElhenney's.com today.
Largely dry today with isolated showers and sunny spells. Sunshine will become more widespread this afternoon with highest temperatures of 15 to 16 degrees. Now, you will have heard on the Garda information slot that they are investigating a collision that occurred between two vehicles on the N13 at Callandrum Keen on Monday the 30th of June, which was last night, shortly before 10:30. I'm joined now by Adrian. Good morning, Adrian.
Hello, how are you, Kayla?
Good, thank you very much. So you had heard this crash happening, and unfortunately it's a bit of a black spot.
It's an ongoing issue. So there's multiple crashes there every year. People have lost their lives at that junction, just at the N13 filling station there.
Hmm.
And I think much more could be done. Like to start with, the road marking's very poor. Drivers don't adhere to the double solid line. They see it as a passing opportunity when they see the straight. And when you've cars coming out of the other way of the junction from the convoy or the meet to cap side, it's mm-hmm. just a head-on collision straight away.
And this is such a busy route that, you know, suppose for you living along the road, that you do want to see work done. There's people travelling there, you know, daily, but there's people that are unfamiliar with the area as well, and that's another issue.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And another thing, like, there's no street lighting at the junction, so the visibility is pretty poor.
And have you?
And it is a very busy junction.
Yeah. And have you raised this with local councillors?
We have been in contact with the council before about visibility and putting up lights, but kind of fell on deaf ears, to be honest.
And do you think there is a speeding issue, or it is the lack of visibility there?
I think there's a couple of factors, and there's a couple of deterrents that could be put in place to limit the risk. So I believe islands could be introduced, or even bollards, to stop cars from overtaking where they shouldn't be at this junction. Street lighting would definitely add to the safety. And along with that, there's a possibility at that junction to have turn-off lanes. So when you be coming from Letterkenny, you could go into a turn-off lane to head for Convoy. Or if you're coming from Balvafay, you could go into a turn-off lane to go to Meentecat. I think it would just add to the safety. Like, and I don't think any more lives need to be lost. I think something could be done about this. Like.
Hmm. And I'm unfamiliar about that particular stretch, but is it a wide enough stretch that there could be additional lanes put in place?
Not at the moment, but there's fields either side that could be incorporated, and I don't know, that'd be up to the council to approach landowners. But
And
there's a severe risk for life at that junction. That's just what I feel. Like, I come out from Balvafay and try to turn right at this junction, and I put on my indicator, and people are passing you when you have on your indicator. It's just it's very dangerous, that junction.
Yeah. Well, Adrian, thanks so much for joining us to raise awareness there, and hopefully there will be people listening that can make a difference in relation to road safety there. I know there's so many places right across the county that works do need to be carried out. So you can check that out. I mentioned it was on the Garda information slot, so it'll be on our website. More information as it relates to that collision last night at Callan in Drumkeen. Turning now to a few of your comments. Our father was scammed out of €60,000 with gift cards, mainly via WhatsApp and Facebook. He's in his early 80s. The scammers are saying that they have relatives who need operations, etc. His wife does not know that all their savings are gone. That is very sad. This has been going on for a year or more, and we never knew. I just want to urge people to be vigilant of elderly people online. We're waiting to see if his phone has been merged and if they can take the money without his consent. My dad knows that he's been scammed but thinks that he is doing good. Gift cards seem to be what is coming up on the bank statements. That's how the bank never copped on. It was €50, €100, €300 here and there. We've taken bank cards and phone, etc. off him. And that's the sad reality, that it is the elderly people and the more vulnerable people, you know, that are willing to do good to help somebody out, that these people are targeting. They're targeting so many people, but they seem to just hone in on the elderly. And €60,000 gone for that per man, and all his life savings. And to be carrying that, and, you know, his wife not knowing that all their savings are gone, everything they've worked for, I'm sure, all their lives. Another listener says, I live in the Dunfanaghy area and recently took maternity leave, but I've only just discovered there's no creche facilities in the town. There are Interment and Creaslaw, which is up the road. The government want us to return to work, but they are not providing the support. So yeah, that's a serious issue. And not even, you know, that there's no creche facilities in place, but the price of childcare, people simply can't afford. And if they were in full-time employment before they were off on maternity leave, just, you know, to go back 5 days a week just simply is unjustifiable for many. And especially then if you have more than one child, you know, that's double the price. For some It's like paying a second mortgage. I have flying squirrels in my home in Letterkenny. How do I get rid of them? I've heard that peppermint oil gets rid of them. Has anyone else encountered them? They're setting off my alarm. If you can help that listener out, get in touch by ringing us on 9125000 or texting or WhatsApping 086 60 25000. Regarding the state pension, this listener says, I have 960 stamps paid via my work all these years. I need 972 for the state pension, so I'm 12 short. Presently, I'm only getting paid 85% of the pension. Has this happened to anyone else and what did they do about it? It all seems very unfair. The new four-lane road is a disgrace with weeds. The Ballyrain Road is full of residents. People need to take responsibility for their own areas. We want to have our own areas looking nice. The council can't be everywhere. People need to look after their own areas. That is true in some instances, but I'm sure there are other people that would argue that, you know, they're paying for the council services, that the council should be looking after the maintenance. Good evening. I wanted to pose a question about the homelessness in Letterkenny. This is an email we received. Do we actually feel like it's getting any better personally? I've been homeless for near 2 years and try as I might to find affordable accommodation, I can't. And I have two small children and my answer from our council is always the same. There's people with higher priority than me, which I do accept. But no matter how hard I try, I get nowhere. But the promise of houses are being built, but they are so far away, etc. Then when houses that do become available again, I am told, no, I'll be considered along with the council policies, but still it's always a no. I've been in homeless accommodation for nearly 2 years and personally see others abusing the system with my own two eyes, claiming homeless to try to get housed, but in reality they're staying with someone 6 nights out of the week, happily just playing along while others are fighting tooth and nail to try better the situation. Just a thought, that listener says. Hi, could you ask someone in Donegal County Council why they are not cutting grass? The Manor Cunningham roundabout is a disgrace, as well as the roundabout at Bonagee and the tourist office in Letterkenny. By roads coming onto main roads have not been cut, long grass blocking the vision as well as road signs. Could you ask the council why this is allowed to happen this year, as it has been looked after up until now? I wonder if you could highlight the problem with overgrowth. Seems to be a theme here today, especially in the rural areas. The trees and bushes are growing mad to the point you can't see the speed limit signs along the road or the signs of the townland you're entering. What's to happen? Are the council supposed to take care of this? Not to mention if we get another dry spell of weather where gorse fires are a threat, many a house will be in danger. Apart from that, our lovely views of the countryside are disappearing fast, that listener says. Hi, just got my new home insurance renewal. It was €265 last year. It's now €400. How is that just too high for anyone on a pension? Many thanks. Yeah, nearly doubling that is crazy. Greg was speaking yesterday to Senator Niall Blaney and Councillor Liam Blaney. There's a civic reception being held for 100 years in politics for the Blaney family on Friday. A couple of comments in relation to that. Please wish Senator and Councillor Blaney our best wishes on their 100 years in politics. We have a long friendship and would like to congratulate the Blaneys. We knew the late Neil and Harry as well. That comes in from Dawn and Anna Hart in the Diamond Refo. From one end of the county to another is the message there.